Chapter 7. The Star Lounge. It was Della Terrell, one of the family types, who'd told Radomir about the Star Lounge. She was a furtive sort, all twitching eyes and nervous lips, who spoke side-on, as though eyeing her escape routes. Radomir would have thought that she'd been scared by his butchery of Emerson Tobias, but he'd seen her acting in exactly the same way towards other children of the Serpent, ones who could surely pose her no immediate threat.
"Your pardon, good sire," she muttered hesitantly. "But there's this place my sister Nancy runs. A bar, you see, but there's a secret room beyond where they keep the narcs for those who can pay."
"I have no need of such things," Radomir had said shortly, intending to dismiss her.
"But good sire, there's a pair of ladies what go there often, highborn by their clothes, though they try to dress plain. They meet there, and we're sure they think they're being all secret about it, but we see them well enough, and though they always keep their foreheads covered, Nancy swears they're three eyes."
Radomir had paused at that. Imperial citizens on many a world would have no knowledge of what a navigator was. Many primitive planets didn't even understand space travel, or the concept of the Emperor as anything other than whichever nearby star gave light and warmth to their wretched, void-bound rock of a home. On Vorlisi, however, the houses flaunted their power and presence in their incessant displays to their rivals, like jungle-dwelling avians claiming a tree as their own. A Vorlisian, relatively prosperous and well-educated, compared to many of their fellows across the galaxy, and understanding their place as one imperial world amongst millions, would likely have at least a fair idea of what a navigator might look like. Such lack of caution from his quarry warranted investigation. And so he was here, in the Ascension City mid-levels, sitting on one end of a velour bench seat worn down to an unappealing dirty red colour and sipping low-grade Amasek that smelled like it had been distilled from Grok's piss. The bar itself was grimy, the sort of patina that accumulated when sticky alcohol was left to dry and attracted the dust and dirt borne in on the clothes and bodies of its patrons. Nonetheless, it was doing a roaring trade. Burly shift workers in the sturdy monogrammed overalls of their manufacturums rubbed shoulders with administratum scribes, seeking intoxicating release before their next backbending, finger-cramping shift hunched over autoscribers or cogitators. Gaudily dressed merchants, their clothes and jewellery glitteringly fine and less subjected to close scrutiny, huddled in groups where each tried to put a braver face on their fiscal well-being than their fellows. While nearby, knots of pierced, tattooed or branded gangers knocked back shots and discussed the next hit on their rivals in hushed tones. Joy girls and thrill boys took turns walking the floor, trailing seductive fingers across shoulders or leaning to whisper into ears before leading their marks away, while those unsuccessful in finding business on this pass returned to their cluster of near-naked companions and the raucous laughter and improbable anatomical discussions that emanated from them, not far from a pinch-faced man in the robes and aquila of the ecclesiarchy, nursing a flavoured water, and probably composing his next sermon on the evils of the flesh. Radomir was thoroughly disappointed by the lack of the evils of the flesh, in actual fact. Despite Della's presence in the Children of the Serpent, and her relationship to the owner, Nancy, visible behind the actual bar itself, taking orders and serving drinks while addressing every customer by name, yet somehow never losing the ever-present low stick from the corner of her mouth as she did so, there was no sign that anything in the Star Lounge paid homage to the great powers. Radomir had developed a nose for finding his fellow worshippers, and none of his senses were tingling. The booze, the sex, the low-level corruption, extortion and violence being plotted all around him, even the concealed narcotics lounge, none of it was the result of anything more than human nature, petty mewlings that were oblivious to the glorious possibilities of chaos. It was almost enough to make him weep. It wasn't helped by the fact that this was his third time here, and there had still been no sign of the alleged navigators. Della had been around on the first two nights, waiting tables and standing ready to draw his attention to them. But she wasn't here this evening. Radomir wondered whether she hadn't dared come, given that her tip-off had failed to deliver the goods so far. He was wasting his time. This had sounded like a good way to get two kills at once, on top of the three he'd already managed. He had no doubt that two of them had been found by House Brabantis. He'd dropped the third into the river,
after harvesting their war pie, and he was fairly certain that the chemicals and currents in that body of fluid would combine to ensure that they wouldn't surface again, or at least wouldn't be identifiable when they did. However, the names Mlle Bertin had supplied of House Brabantis navigators, with a tendency to regularly venture outside of their palaces with little or no security, had been exhausted. The careless, rebellious, or overly bold had been eliminated, and the house itself must surely have realised that someone was targeting them. They would take countermeasures. There would be no easy Brabantist kills from now on. And this lead on incautious navigators from houses unknown had proved worthless. Radomir would achieve nothing by sitting in this sinkhole of substandard depravity. He finished his drink, grimaced at the aftertaste, and was about to stand up when movement caught his eye at the door. A tall, thin person had entered, probably a woman, judging by their build, draped in light, figure-hugging robes of saffron and a veil that was nearly opaque in the bar's lighting. Gloves disappeared into the figure's sleeves, and their feet were shod in finely made boots of leather. Not a scrap of skin was directly visible to an observer. Navigator. Radomir was certain of it. They stared into the sea of souls, then tried to hide the gifts the great powers bestowed upon them. The wretched ingrates. They, of all humans, should best know the power and majesty of the true gods. And yet the vast majority clung to the lies and fake protection offered by the corpse emperor. In most circumstances, Radomir would have embraced such an altered one and celebrated their mutations as a blessing from the Changer. But he had no compunctions about killing navigators. None whatsoever. The navigator glided across the bar's floor, attracting a couple of stares but no lasting attention. Most of the clientele were more interested in their fellow's conversation or the contents of their glass than one stranger, no matter how they were dressed. Radomir watched as she reached the bar and exchanged a few words with Nancy before being ushered quietly through a door marked Authorised Personnel Only. It seemed that Della may have been right after all. Radomir sat back in his seat and waited. No more than a few minutes had passed before another irregularly proportioned individual arrived. This one was stockier, wearing a half-mask that covered her from the nose upwards, and the artful cut of her burgundy robes gathered at her shoulders couldn't quite hide the hump on her back, nor could the extravagant wide-brimmed hat conceal the fact that the head beneath it was somewhat larger than the norm. At least, not to someone who was looking for such things. This woman limped across the floor, her right leg dragging a little, and was trailed by a soberly dressed individual in subtle body armour, with what looked like a Suleiman in carmine auto pistol in a shoulder rig. Radomir watched them go through the same ritual at the bar and be shown through the same door. Good enough? Radomir waited a couple more minutes, then left his empty glass on the table and stood up to make his way across the bar to the latrines. The room was small, barely large enough for its two cubicles, metal trough and wash basin, with a broken spigot and a faded sign reminding citizens of the importance of correct sanitization procedures, and reeked of old urine, much of which must have dried on the floor, judging by how sticky it was underfoot. It had no windows, since the nearest edge of the hab block was several hundred yards away. Radomir cast a quick glance upwards at the ceiling and gave the ventilation system a cursory glance over, but it wasn't worth his time. It might connect to the private narc lounge, but it might not. He had neither the time nor the patience to go crawling through air ducts, so he flicked the switch to turn the flickering ceiling lumen off and plunged the latrine chamber into darkness. But darkness held no secrets from Radomir Niklau. Its cool kiss on his skin was like the gentle caress of a lover from whom he'd been away for too long. He gained some relief from simply being inside his clothes, of course, but that was a weak and watery pleasure compared to being bathed in a true absence of light. He luxuriated for a moment, simply soaking up the absence of photons and listening to the sensual song of darkness as it rippled through his brain. Voices calling him, imploring him to stay this time, to never leave. He shook himself free from the brief reverie. One day, perhaps. One day when his master's grand work was completed and the Imperium was little more than burning, screaming worlds, littered across the galaxy in brutal, miserable isolation. Until then, he had work to do. He reached out into the lack of light, not with his hands but with his mind, searching for his quarry. He had only a short reach, at least compared to the great shadow walkers of the past. But he was strong enough for what was needed. There. Images danced before his eyes. On the other side of this wall, a stockroom. On the other side of that was the shadowy gloom of an obscura lounge. The lumens turned low to aid the drug's dreamlike effects. That was where they'd be. In some respects, a pervasive low light was more difficult. A single bright light cast deep shadows, but in the fuzzy gloom everything was merely shades of darkness. He couldn't slip through easily. He had to concentrate hard and work on holding reality apart. But he could do it. He thrust himself into the darkness, forcing himself through the in-between, the gaps, where light wasn't. He felt his head breach into the tickling touch of faint illumination, the muted rays deadening him, pressing on him and trying to force him back. But he gritted his teeth and kept going. Then his eyes made it out, showing him the room, for they were still his method of sensing things visually, even though they no longer relied solely on light to do so. Finally, he dragged his body through, fighting the clawing light all the way, until he lay supine and concealed in the space beneath a reclining couch in the corner. It wasn't dignified, but it was the best option available to him. The room wasn't large, but it was large enough for a dozen or so couches, each one separated from the rest by diaphanous curtains of gauze. It was, undoubtedly, supposed to look opulent and debauched, but merely managed tatty and run down. Not that this seemed to bother the occupants. Several of the couches supported punters in varying states of intoxication, including the one under which Radomir now lay. It was the centre of the room, however, where his quarry was. Radomir thought he could just make out the vertical shape of the bodyguard, stiff and alert despite the obscure fumes in the air, presumably using filter plugs or something similar to keep his head clear. He'd have to be dealt with first. Radomir scuttled out from under his shelter, his arms and legs splayed wide like one of the man-eating stone drakes of Illustria IV, then burst up to his feet as soon as he was clear. A startled noise, somewhere between a hiccup and a moan, emanated from the drugged occupant of the couch he'd just emerged from. It wasn't much, but as he burst through the first set of gauzy curtains, Radomir saw the bodyguard's head snap around and the man reach for his holstered weapon. 21 feet. That was the safe distance required by a trained person armed with a holstered pistol to be able to draw and shoot before a charging attacker reached them, assuming neither party was using performance-enhancing stimulants. Radomir was quicker than most, and had been less than 16 feet away when the bodyguard noticed him. The remaining curtain separating them didn't slow him any, and he ripped his power knife in a diagonal downward cut across the man's belly. The bodyguard's armor parted under the crackling blade like flesh under a las scalpel, and he staggered forwards as Radomir flowed to one side with the force of his own blow. To his credit, the man persisted in trying to draw his weapon, but Radomir simply reversed his grip on the knife and plunged it into the bodyguard's spine. The man dropped onto his front, his right arm trapped beneath him and still clutching the grip of his gun. One or two other users had become aware that something was going on and were making confused, ill-defined noises of alarm, although several were completely lost in their personal haze and were completely oblivious. Radomir turned his attention to the two women in front of him. They were only just coming out of a companionable embrace to stare at him in shock. The shorter one held an obscura bowl in her right hand, from which purple-grey fumes were rising. Radomir advanced on them, ready to finish this quickly. The taller, thinner navigator exploded forwards and slammed her open hand into his chest as soon as he came within her considerable reach, knocking him from his feet and sending him flying backwards into the gauze surrounding the couch. The curtains ripped out of their anchors in the ceiling and collapsed on him, entangling him for a moment before he fought his way free of them. By the changer of all the damnable luck! At least one of these two was nowhere near as fragile as she'd appeared. The gifts of the warp were fickle indeed, and the taller navigator must have been blessed with muscles of rockcrete and tendons like adamantium hawsers beneath her skin. Radomir felt like he'd taken a thunderhammer to the chest, and dark spots that even he couldn't penetrate swam in front of his eyes for a moment. "Help!" the shorter one called desperately. "Nancy! Nancy!" She was clinging to her taller companion, and in doing so was hindering her in pressing the slender advantage she'd gained with her surprising strength. Radomir sucked in air. He didn't dare go for her with his knife again. She was too quick and too strong to be sure of it, and her reach was too great. If she got her fingers on his wrist, he'd lose his blade, and if she got her hands around his throat... There were no shadows nearby deep enough to fall into and emerge again behind her, as he'd have preferred. The prey was already shouting. His initial plan of doing this quietly had been ruined, so he might as well adapt to it. He grabbed the bodyguard, rolled the man over and pulled his auto pistol free, then thumbed it to full auto and fired a burst at each of his quarries. Dark wounds opened on their torsos as the small caliber shells found their mark and the acrid tang of chemical propellant abruptly filled the air. Whatever blessings the great powers had given either of them, they didn't extend to invulnerable skin or near immediate powers of healing. Both wavered and fell, making breathy, bloody noises through punctured lungs. Time was key now. Radomir scrambled to the first one, the shorter and stockier of the two, and opened her throat with his knife. Then, as light faded from her human eyes, he tore off the half-mask that still covered her forehead and plunged his blade into her skull. The electro-sheathed knife made as short work of bone as it had of body armour, and it was the work of a few moments to prise her warp eye free. Radomir averted his gaze from it, working by touch, for his was a dangerous harvest. It was hard between his fingers, toughened through years of staring into the immaterium, and he dropped it into his belt pouch, heedless of the blood that stained it. Then he reached for her companion. She ripped her veil free, spitting a bubbling curse as she did so, and Radomir found himself staring straight into the void. Only his reflexes saved him. Even he, servant of the great powers though he was, didn't have the strength of mind to endure the gaze of a navigator's warp eye and keep his sanity. He felt the edges of his psyche starting to unravel and managed to close his eyes in the split second before he was lost in her stare for what would have surely been a subjective eternity, then lashed out with his knife. It was a blind strike, and Radomir wasn't used to fighting blind, but it was good enough. His blade found its mark, punching up and through her jaw, and he felt the wash of warm blood over his fingers. Her hand flailed at his for a moment, but it had lost its previous strength, and he drove the blade deeper with a grunt and a shove. It must have passed a critical threshold into her brain. The navigator went limp with a sigh and moved no more. Radomir withdrew his knife and cautiously opened his eyes, then went to work on her forehead as well, covering her warp eye with his hand as he cut, just to be sure. He got her eye out in a matter of seconds, dropped it into his belt pouch, and wiped his blade clean on the taller navigator's robes. Now, it was definitely time to leave. The door crashed open to admit a woman with a shotgun, who slapped the wall as she entered. There must have been a setting switch there, as the room's illumination suddenly kicked up to full. Radomir blinked desperately as the song of darkness ceased entirely. "Who the—" Nancy began, raising her shotgun to her shoulder and bringing both barrels to bear on him. Radomir was faster. He snatched up the auto pistol again and fired, half pulping her skull. Nancy fell backwards, colliding with the door and knocked it shut as she slumped to the floor, the shotgun slipping from her hands. Screams from outside, running footsteps, and light, cursed light everywhere. Radomir had been trained in combat by his masters, but he'd seen how many people were in the bar. The gangers, the manufacturing workers, if they decided to investigate and wanted vengeance for the woman who served them alcohol every day, then he would die. The gangers would probably be armed too. The door was out of the question, and he couldn't stay here. There were four uplighters, one on each wall. He took aim at each in turn and pulled the trigger. The first one dissolved in a shower of sparks, then the second, then the third. The Encarmine buzzed an alert as he turned to the fourth. It was out of ammunition. Radomir muttered a prayer to all of his gods and threw the cursed thing. It struck the lumen true, smashed it, and the room was plunged into total, blessed blackness. There was no time to look. Someone could push the door open at any moment. Radomir threw himself into darkness's embrace, trusting to chance and the mercy of his true patrons.